morning. For we have, if we have been reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more shall we be saved by his life. Very wonderful conclusion to that reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. And it's a message that is so often forgotten. So often in the Christian faith, we put all the emphasis on the death of Christ, on his blood, on the cross. And how little attention we pay to his life. And so St. Paul says to us, if we are reconciled to God, if we are brought back into unity with God through the death, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, how much more shall we be saved by the life of Christ? It's his life that saves us. It is his life and our sharing in his life. And that, unfortunately, doesn't get too much airtime in Christian speaking and Christian preaching. And it is indeed through the life that Jesus lived and our sharing in that life and our entering into that life that we become one with God. But very often, the things that Jesus said or even did during his life can be the cause of confusion and misinterpretation. And a lot of his life-giving messages can end up being twisted and turned into death messages. And unfortunately, religious people and religions in general, including our own, are very good at teaching death rather than life. So today, we heard this amazingly challenging gospel reading, which I think is one of the most misunderstood, misinterpreted things that Jesus ever said. So we put our focus on the things he said. No, do not be anxious about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Look at the birds of the air. Doesn't your Father, your Heavenly Father, feeds them? Look at the lilies of the field. How beautiful they are. You know, that message has been taken so cynically and sarcastically by many people, including many Christians. It's like, so what? I'm supposed to just sit back and God is going to drop food for me from heaven and clothing and put a roof over my head. I don't have to do anything. What kind of message is that? That doesn't sound very life-affirming to me. It sounds more like an invitation to some kind of a death cult. But that's really to miss the real message of Jesus Christ. See, that passage about the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, about not being anxious, comes in between, is sandwiched between two very important statements. And it is those opening and closing statements of the passage that we just read, that I just read, are the real message for us today. And the only way that we can understand what he said about being anxious and about the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. He starts out by saying, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon being a word for money. You cannot serve God and money at the same time. You cannot serve two masters. You must choose. And then at the end, after he tells us not to be anxious, to look at the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, and not to be like the Gentiles, what does Jesus say at the end? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. That's the message. It's the message at the beginning, at the end, that are the heart of what he says. The stuff in between is poetry. It's just poetry. It's just poetry to inspire us, to give us something, a vision from nature, something to lift our eyes, to take us off of our everyday toils and anxieties. That's poetry. The real message is at the beginning where he says, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. And then at the end, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Those are the messages. He starts out by saying, Udhis dinate disi kriis dulevin, udhinaste theo dulevin ke mamona. The verb that he used is dulevo. Now, in modern Greek, that just means work. But what do modern Greeks know? In the original ancient Greek, the verb dulevo means to serve, to be in servitude, to own allegiance to something or someone, to be a slave to something or someone. As a matter of fact, the English word servitude is probably the closest to the original meaning of the verb dulevo in the ancient Greek. It means undivided allegiance, servitude, to be owned by someone or something else. So Jesus says at the beginning, you cannot be owned by God and money. You have to choose one or the other. One of the other is going to be the controlling factor in your life. Is it going to be God or is it going to be money? And if it is God, then seek first the kingdom of God and his dikaiosyne, translated as righteousness, but more properly meaning justice. Seek first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things that you are anxious about, that you worry about. And here's another verb. He says, ketafta panda prostethisete imin. It's translated in what I read, these things shall be yours as well. Again, not a very exact translation. The verb prostithimi means something is added. Something is added as a bonus. So what Jesus is saying to us, seek first the kingdom of God. Okay? So you cannot be owned by both God and money. You have to choose. So he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his justice and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. They are like additions. They're at the heart of the matter. And that's why I'm saying to you today, the real message is the beginning and the end. What comes in between is just poetry. It's just icing on the cake. It's just examples to you, to inspire you and me. Because what happens if we seek the kingdom of God first, above everything else, and his justice and his righteousness? What does that mean? Imagine if 7 billion people on the planet sought the kingdom of God, were not controlled by money, were not slaves to money. Do you think anyone would be hungry? Do you think anybody would be naked? Do you think anybody would be homeless? Do you think anybody would be killing anyone else? Do you think there would even be a Wall Street? Where would the greed, where does greed come in? Greed is the opposite of seeking God's kingdom and God's righteousness and God's justice. Because if all the people of the earth were actively seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His justice, no one would have to be anxious about anything. Everyone would have enough. There could still be rich and poor people. I'm not talking about eliminating wealth or eliminating affluence or anything like that. Jesus never said that. Jesus never taught that kind of a message. But Jesus did preach justice, righteousness, sharing. And that's what happens when you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His justice. You know, societies are very wasteful. We are very wasteful people. Just ask anybody who works in a restaurant. Ask Tom Stratus, who works in the produce department of Shaw's in Scarborough. He told me the last time I was with him. He told me how much they throw away every day. If an apple has a little mark, they have to put tomatoes, a little imperfect, goes out. They don't even carry the racks anymore where they used to put produce at reduced prices because they were overripe or they were not quite good looking. They don't even do that anymore. Because you see, customers want nice looking vegetables, nice looking fruits. We don't want anything ugly. Forget about the taste. The taste is not there. When is the last time you tasted any fruit in this country? It's all GMO, all chemicals, whatever. We only look at appearances. And the rest is wasted. It is thrown out. Just talk to him, and he'll tell you. So I'm not making this up. We are wasteful. We don't know how to share. And that comes from not seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's how you interpret today's gospel reading. Not as an invitation to us not to worry about anything because God is just going to drop things down from heaven. That doesn't happen. It doesn't. God provides through how we respond to the kingdom and His message. What we are seeking in our lives. That's how God provides. The age of miracles of God dropping manna from heaven to His people in the desert, those days are gone. We are in charge. We are in charge of the earth. We are in charge of our economies, of how we deal with each other, with our societies, and our obligation is to serve God and not mammon, and to seek His kingdom and His righteousness first. And everything else is added. Everything else is the icing on the cake. That, dear friends, is the message of the gospel, at least in my understanding today.